Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
What is up, Buffalo Fanatics? Z-Bot, Rico.
Heyo.
It's Z-Bot and Rico late night on a Saturday evening, powered by BetUS, where the game begins. 125% sign-up bonus via the link in the description below. Up to $2,000 on your first three deposits. The second preseason game for the Buffalo Bills is in the books. 9-3 victory in Pittsburgh over the Russell Wilson and Justin Field-led Steelers. Another electrifying outing this preseason, Rico. Two preseason games for the Bills, two touchdownless games, 9-3 victory. At least Tyler Bass is getting his reps, Rico, huh?
Tyler Bass is getting his reps, and his confidence is being boosted, and that's exactly what we're looking for. If we're putting touchdowns on the board, we might as well put some threes up there, and that's exactly what Tyler Bass came out to do today. Nothing huge. Everything was under 50. But nonetheless, confidence is being boosted right now. And that's what we want. We want his confidence to be up. So when the moment comes where we need him, if we ain't putting up any touchdowns, you got to nail your field goals. And that he did. So I'm excited about that part. That's something we could build off of. So what were your thoughts on this week two preseason fiesta?
Let's start right where it began. I don't know. I want to get your thoughts as well, of course. But where are you at? Because I think what we get most excited for in the preseason, and we'll talk about it. I mean, obviously the linebacker situation tonight, which was very exciting to see from an undrafted player for our Buffalo Bills. We saw some tremendous performances out of Greg Rousseau, Ed Oliver. We'll touch on all that. But going into the evening, I think what people are most excited for is to see a couple of reps from JA17 and the boys. That's what everybody looks forward to in the preseason games, especially when you're under the impression that you're going to get that. So you know how it is. This is how I was last week. Finally, you know, get a chance to see Josh Allen with Keon Coleman, Curtis Samuel. And last week it was a 3-and-out immediately. Allen got one more series and then boom, it was over. I think he wound up throwing 4 total passes last week. So you go into tonight and you're thinking, all right, maybe he'll get a little more. We finally get to see Allen throw a ball to Coleman. Maybe we get a touchdown drive or at least a sustained drive. First series for the Bills. And if you're like me, you're like, wait. That's a tall dude right there walking out on the field with a mustache, but I don't see a 7 next to that 1. I see an 11. I see a 1-1.
Don't remind me.
J.A. not walking out on the field. And I'm thinking all day long, I'm excited to just see at least a series or two. And Mitchie Trubisky, the Bisky, walks out and starts for the Buffalo Bills and pretty much plays the entire first half, and boy, oh boy, Rico, it was not good. But how did you feel when you didn't see Allen walk out there?
The biscuit. I was actually. Can I be real?
Yeah.
I was actually pissed. Listen, I was actually pissed because we had to wait all day to know that he ain't playing, and we're waiting till for me, 8 o'clock. Game is 7 o'clock for you guys. We're like all day. You're like, you know what? Last week was just for me. I didn't like it. People were giving me flack because I was like, I don't like the showing. And they're thinking that I was upset because we didn't win. I don't give a rat's butt if we didn't win. It was about what did you show on the field? And they didn't show anything. So I'm thinking this is the week that they right their wrongs. Whatever we didn't do right last week, we're going to do it right this week. Why? Because majority of the starters are going to stay in. Isn't that what coach said? We're going to play about a quarter and a half, maybe, you know what I mean, right until maybe the second half, right? We'll clear the first half at least. Mitch Trubisky coming out. I was like, oh, hell no, man. Why isn't Curtis Samuel in it? Why is Josh Allen not in? I was like, oh, no, nah, these guys are playing with us. And this is the product you get. You got this product on the field, a 9-3 game where we couldn't move the ball. Mitch Trubisky had less than 100-yard passing. Ben DiNucci. The Nucci gang came onto the field. He doesn't even know the playbook. And all we did was run the ball. And I anticipated that. But, like, I wanted to see more of Josh Allen, more of Keon Coleman, more of the O-line together, get some kind of momentum to go into week one. We have no momentum. Like, whose decision is to cut him and why? Actually, cut him. Whose decision is to just say, you know what, Allen, you're not playing this week. Like, it's not like you were going to start him with the O-line that is just depleted. Everybody's intact. Everybody's there. So what's the problem? It's like, bro, sometimes McDermott makes these decisions. I'm like, bro, come on now. Get your guy in there. But I get it. You don't want to harm your quarterback because you know that if you harm your quarterback, there goes the season. But are you looking at it that way? Are you more like, I'm pissed? Or did you like, nah, it's okay. Or it's just preseason. Were you in that mode or were you actually annoyed like I was?
No, I was annoyed.
Thank you.
Of course I was annoyed. We wait all day long. Selfishly, I'm annoyed. Now, McDermott, of course, was asked about this. I think the first question he was asked after the game. And his reasoning was fair. It was a bit rainy out there. The conditions weren't the best.
Get out of here. Are you a football player or not?
I'm guessing, Rico, the sentiment might be, because if you saw McDermott after Milano went down, we'll talk about that because you and I haven't talked about it together yet.
But we haven't.
But you saw McDermott and he just looked dead inside addressing Milano getting injured. And I'm guessing it might be a bit easier going into next week, knowing he didn't throw Allen out there to even subject himself to anything with the rain or whatever. I guess I get it to that point. But selfishly, of course, for me, you know, I'm watching Patrick Mahomes earlier in the day on NFL Network throw behind the back passes to Kelsey and Xavier Worthy's lighting it up. And I'm like, yeah, I want to see the Bills do a little bit of that tonight, because last week it was pitiful. And tonight, now marking 3 weeks from tomorrow when these Bills kick off, I do want to see an essentially rebranded Buffalo Bills offense put something out on display before they take it into a game that actually counts. We go back to last year, and the first game of the year for the Buffalo Bills might have been the worst game that they've ever played with Josh Allen in his prime here. It was absolutely abysmal, and I'm trying to avoid that week one this year against an Arizona Cardinals team who I promise you is going to be better than advertised. They're going to be better than they're just the Cardinals. This is a better team than we saw last year out of Arizona, and they're going to want to prove that early. Now, I'm not saying the Bills aren't supposed to be the favorite, should be the favorite. It's at home. They should win that game. But
Tone Bannister wants to know, why are you comparing us to the Chiefs? Why?
How come every time even when I utter the word Chiefs, everyone just gets absolutely all in my face? My point was, I'm watching the Chiefs earlier. I'm not comparing anybody. I'm saying Chiefs fans must have had a ball today watching Worthy ball out. You throw him behind the back passes. I just wanted to see a little bit of something tonight, and we didn't get to see anything. And, you know, Pierre made this point earlier when Rico and him and Rico, Pierre, Bobby and I were all talking earlier. And he's like, we have no preparation going into the first week. Now, normally I'd be fine with that. When you have the veteran presence that the Bills used to have and you had the camaraderie built throughout multiple years of being together, this offense is brand new, essentially. And if it's not brand new, it's filled with guys who are in their second or third year. You want to just see a series or two, I suppose. So that's what I was rooting for tonight. And we didn't get that at all. To think we take the preseason too seriously, you couldn't be more wrong, because if you were able to hack into our group message, essentially I was saying, I'm ready to abolish the whole thing. I hate the preseason. All it does is get me anxious and more than likely will piss me off, which one more reason I was pissed off tonight was exactly the reason Rico's pissed off. I wanted to see a little bit of Allen. In fact, Rico, the Steelers fans wanted to see Allen. When Trubisky went out for the first series, the whole crowd booed. When do you ever see the visiting crowd boo because the opponent didn't put out their best player? So, you know, I did want to see Allen tonight. Of course I did.
Of course everyone wants to see Allen. And it's not about just seeing Allen. You want to see what we've been trying to advertise this whole offseason is that we've got new receivers. Let's see a little bit of what Khalil Shakir can do. We already know, but let's see it now without Diggs, without Davis. Let's see Khalil Hollins. We didn't have Hollins last week. Okay, so we had Hollins this week. Okay, so now everyone, oh, no Curtis Samuel. Like, just all this shuffling back and forth. And the excuse is because of rain. It rained. Are you kidding me? Come on, man. Like, listen, these guys play football. They've been playing football forever, and I get it. What if you got hurt? Okay, you know what? He can get hurt in practice.
Yeah, see, I'm done with that. After Milano is out for the year hitting a bag, I'm done with – I agree with you completely on that.
Get hurt in practice. Look at Kevin Cobb. If we remember Kevin Cobb, was running to the field, slips on a mat, there goes his career. You feel me? So, like let the man play and let's build some chemistry. And for Kaz Cut, that said something to the nature of it. I'm not even trying to blast you, Kaz Cut. What space audio? They weren't booing because of no Allen. They were booing because it was an X.
This completely slipped my mind. I forgot. Great point, Space Oddity. That completely slipped my mind.
He's absolutely right. They're booing because Mr. Trubisky, you were ass when you were with him. You're ass right now.
That just goes to show, Rico, how much I wanted Allen out there, though, where I convinced myself that the Steelers were booing because Allen wasn't out there. That's where my mindset was.
I'm telling you right now. So Cass Cut says, he said something earlier. I can't find the comment, but he says, you guys take preseason too seriously. You know what? It's not about taking the preseason too seriously because the preseason is used to condition. It's used to get on the same page with your players. It's used to get playing time for guys that don't get much playing time to showcase the abilities with a passing quarterback that can actually do stuff for you so you can showcase your skill. So when we go into week one and you start seeing the rust from Josh Allen to Keon Coleman, the rust from Josh to Mac Hollins, you'll then go back to like, man, why are they playing that way? Well, you want to know why? Because they didn't get that time against live bullets in preseason. Doing it in practice is one thing. You know it's thud. It's 7-on-7. Like, all that is bullshit. When you go against a guy that's toe-to-toe trying to knock your block off, that's what I want to see. I want to see that type of stuff. So when we go into week one, we're polished and ready to go. It becomes difficult to kind of get a rhythm if you ain't getting no time with the ones and all that stuff. So, I mean, maybe we are tripping. But if the product is not what it looks like on the field, don't be blaming anybody else. Just blame that. You know what I mean? We didn't get enough time together against live bullets. That's just the way I look at it. We're not taking it serious. It's just logic tells you if it's not great, if it's not a great product, why was it not a great product? Because we did not have time together on the field to gel. I would have loved to see Hollins, Shakir, all those guys to see, okay, what do we got? Let's put one play call sheet together to see what it looks like. Instead, we got Mr. Freaking Biscuit. And then we got fucking, he's got me cussing. I don't want to cuss. Then you got Ben DiNucci gang out there just handing the ball off. Golly, man. But anyway, we won, and we got to see some good things. We got to see some.
Yeah, we did. We did. One last point to the Allen thing, though. It's, look, at the end of the day, let's just call it as it is. The only reason we care right now is because it's the only thing we had going on tonight. That's the only reason we care. I'm not going to care in 2 weeks that Allen didn't play tonight. It'll be easy for me to say, well, if they would have played in the preseason, it might be better, whatever. Selfishly, the only reason we really gave a shit is because tonight we wanted to just see it for our own self-satisfaction, and we didn't see it. I don't think Allen not playing tonight is going to, you know, ultimately affect the regular season really at all. But with that said, I do think that there is value in allowing guys to go out there and play in a real game setting that have not done so before. And I was hoping to see a bit of that tonight, because what we did see tonight, I think from an offensive perspective, is a lot of what we can expect to see, hopefully, from the ground game. So at least that point of it, I think we got a lot of solid takeaway in terms of offensive line getting a good push for these running backs, several different running backs getting involved and getting off the line quick, getting a chunk play or two with seemingly every series on the ground, sometimes a couple per series. Yep. So you liked all those things. You just wanted to see it mixed in a bit more with Allen. But once again, It is what it is. Exactly right. You get it. So you'd rather have a quarterback like in the position of not being out there because you want to protect him than what the hell the Steelers got going on, where you got to give both these guys a half and then send up a prayer, basically hoping somebody answers it and gives you a direction as to where you want to go. Because as it stands right now in Pittsburgh, it's anybody's guess. And I think either guess is probably going to be a tough year for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
It looked like it was going to be a tough year. So we're going to see how that all plays out. But you know, you were saying something earlier is that players that stepped up, and there's one player that must have said, "Father Lord, when I go out into this field, guide me, let me make the right decisions, let me stand out, let me do what I need to do," because Joe and freaking Dreesen came out like a man on fire today.
How this about that?
Got the starting nod from Coach McDermott and Bobby Babich, and Bobby must have seen something from this brother and said, "You're starting today, and I want to see what you got. Let's see what you can make of yourself against the starters, against the Pittsburgh Steelers." That boy Andreessen came through with 12 total tackles today.
Come on.
12 total tackles, 7 solo. He had a beautiful open field tackle on the sideline. And then to boot, 2 tackles for loss. Nothing.
One on fourth down to shut down a drive, Rico.
Buddy, nothing sweeter, nothing more, nothing more
uplifting. Is that how it felt?
You could say uplifting and more satisfying. Nothing more satisfying than your back is against the wall. You got pretty much no chance to make this team. And coach says, "You're up." And now you're like, "Oh, snap." And you know what? There's a clip. I think I have it here. So I'm going to play a clip for you guys when Mr. Andreessen found out that he was starting. So listen to this clip here, and I'll play it for you guys. Let me know if you guys can hear it.
A lot to improve on.
Can you hear that?
Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to watch the film and try and improve on it.
What was the feeling when you learned you were going to get the start today? Obviously, a Buffalo kid. Most people always dream of playing for the Bills. What was the feeling when you learned that you were going to get the start?
I think 2 days ago, maybe, they told me. Oh, it's kind of nice, you know, so they didn't surprise me with it or anything like that. They told me TB wasn't going to play this game. And, you know, we have some injuries in the linebacker room, too. So, yeah, there's definitely a sense of nervousness coming over me when they told me. But, you know, kind of like I said, I'm an undrafted guy. And I kind of looked at it as an opportunity, you know, kind of like nothing to lose. A lot of people aren't really expecting me to make the team. You know, I'm a rookie tryout guy. So it was just something to take full advantage of, and hopefully I showed it to people out there.
And you had a lot of friends and family in the stands. How big of a help was that?
Yeah, my mom told me, I actually saw her before the game and told me we had a lot of people coming out here, so that was a good feeling. I actually saw some of them before the game, too. You know, some people I haven't seen that have moved from Buffalo and I haven't seen in a while, so it was definitely
cool. Now, how dope is that, man?
So cool, dude.
When you have nothing to lose, you got the nod. Obviously, there's a sense of like this warm feeling of nervousness. Like, oh, snap, I'm about to get my start. Like, I either bomb this or I show out. And this is what I love sports and any sport that you play. When your name is called to step up to do something you love and you have your opportunity, you have to nail it. And he did that. Now the question becomes, did he do enough to push to make this 53-man squad? That's the big question. Did he do enough? What are your thoughts on Joe Andreessen and his potential on making this 53-man roster?
Well, for starters, imagine growing up in the area, being as big of a fan as we all are, and then instead of sitting behind the microphone talking about it, you're sitting inside of the shoulder pads playing in it. That's exactly what Joe Andreessen got to do tonight. So I should say, make the team or not. I mean, my God, how cool is that? Say tomorrow he gets cut. You can tell everybody till the end of time you went out against the Pittsburgh Steelers and wasn't like they were playing against some quarterback they picked up off the side of the road. You got Justin Fields out there, a former number one overall pick, starting quarterback in this league, Russell Wilson, Super Bowl champion. I mean, that's an amazing story in its own right. But let's talk about the seriousness of the situation beyond, good story for Joe Andreessen, you know, nice bar story he'll have. Let's face the facts here. Matt Milano, and we'll talk about it a little bit more later on, of course, but it makes me sick to even say it because I got to get used to it again. But Matt Milano, done for the year, right? Not going to be an option. Now, Terrell Bernard, really relying on him to be able to pick up where he left off last year, but another guy who had his season cut short last year. And we have seen time and time again, the injuries on the defensive side of the ball ravish this Buffalo Bills team. So you're looking at the depth chart right now for the linebacking position. You'd have Dorian Williams step up, take that starting spot alongside Terrell Bernard. By the way, speaking of Dorian Williams, dude looks like he's in the best shape of his life right now. I don't know if you've seen pictures of him recently, but dude is a monster. So you're expecting that's the way it's going to go, right? But then you got Baylen Specter right behind.
Yep.
And
You got Nicholas Moreau that's there. You got Deion Jones that you don't want to sleep on Deion Jones. He didn't really help himself today as much. Ulufushio.
Yes, exactly.
Ulufushio. The rookie linebacker at Washington. Yeah.
Yes.
He's absolutely got an absolute opportunity to make the squad for sure.
Right. So you look at what's kind of sitting around waiting to be implemented in the absence of Matt Milano. And you take a look and you're thinking to yourself, why not Joe Andreessen? It's not like there's a set in stone, locked up spot that's going to be taken without the consideration of a guy that went out there tonight and absolutely balled out. Now, it could just be a one-off. It could be an incredible story that was, you know, capitalized on this evening and an opportunity. But I don't see why a guy like him couldn't fight for a role that is pretty much wide open right now. And you saw what he was able to do tonight in situations that mattered. I go back to that fourth down right in front of the end zone. Justin Fields, fourth down, and he's on the ball like a moth to the flame. And he gets the tackle for loss, ends the Steelers' drive. Like you had mentioned earlier, 12 total tackles to lead the team. That's a crazy stat line, especially when you've never played in a professional setting like that. It's extraordinary. So, yeah, it's a great story. But when you actually get down to it, why was he out there starting in the first place tonight, Rico? We might not know a hell of a lot about the guy, but the coaching staff has been watching this guy day in and day out. I have to think there's a reason that when Matt Milano goes down, you announce this guy to be the starter in just the second preseason. There has to be more of a reason than, oh, let's just go see what this kid's got. He has had to have proved up until this point that he at least earned the right to go out there in a starting role and prove what he had. So I don't know, man. We obviously won't know until we do know. But all we do know right now is the guy got one start and he took absolutely full advantage of it. If there's one thing about the preseason that I enjoy and that makes you want to keep it around, it's stuff like this. Because a guy like Andreessen would never have a prayer making the team if it weren't for nights like this. Now we're sitting here talking about it, and I don't think it's a crazy thing to say that we could see this guy suit up for the Buffalo Bills in the regular season, especially when you factor in the amount of injuries that this team has sustained on defense and has already sustained at that position. Like I mentioned, Terrell Bernard coming off injury, Matt Milano already done again, and Baylen Specter deals with injuries all the time, and he's currently on a questionable list. If we had a game this weekend, he would also be on the questionable list. So I don't think it's a crazy thing to anticipate, Rico. What about you?
It's not a crazy thing. And this is the thing, man. They could have easily went with Deion Jones, the savvy vet that's had great success in his career. They could have easily just said, you know what, Terrell, I'll let you play a little bit. Dorian Williams, you're going to play a lot more. They said, Joe Andreessen, you're going to start. They're not, you were going to sprinkle you in. It wasn't about that. You're starting, and let's see what you got. And the one thing that you do, you got to love about Coach McDermott. You got to love this about him. If you can show that you can play, you're going to play. I know we bust his balls for he doesn't like playing rookies. He doesn't like doing this, and he only sticks to. Yo, if you can play, you can play. And you've seen it. Cam Lewis, undrafted guy out of UB. And he's now one of the focal points, special team guy, and can play left and right and play all over the place. And he's still on this roster. Right. So Joe Andreessen coming in, and you know, everyone loves a sweetheart story. This is a sweetheart story. The undrafted guy out of the local boy out of Buffalo coming in and got to start and really showed out. So now he's got to build on that momentum. It's all about building on what you put on film and go from there. Now, did he have some moments where he looked kind of lost? There were some moments, but for the most part, he sniffed the ball and he's right where the football was. And good things happen when you smell where the football is. You see football, you go football, and you tackle football. And that's just what it is. And that's exactly what he did today. And he proved that he can play with these boys. That's 6'1", 230, give or take. He's not a big, stout linebacker, but the boy was running left, right, center. All he did, man, I'd like to see him a lot more in coverage. A lot of this was run tackling and so on and so forth. Him in coverage is what I'd like to see more of. And go from there. Terrell Bernard obviously excels there. Dorian Williams is going to have to get better in that regard. But, I mean, Dorian Williams is a whole nother ballgame. That boy can smack a brother, and you'll know. But the story today is Joe Andreessen and how he took full advantage of the opportunity given. And that's what sports is about. Opportunity. Give me my chance, and I'm going to make the most of it. And that's exactly what he did, and I loved every bit of it. And now it's made the job of the head coach and defensive coordinator a lot more difficult. I put him to start thinking, okay, maybe he'll do well, but I didn't expect this. So now it's like, we really got to take a look at this kid. And if he's something that we feel he's going to be, maybe we got to stash him on our roster. Or if we can find a way to put him on the practice squad, so be it. But he did a fantastic job. Kudos to him. Now, speaking, we're going to stick on the defense. Was there anybody that stood out to you on this defense that you're like, okay, my eyes are on you. I saw what you did today. Anybody stand out to you?
Well, one more point, just real quick on the situation surrounding Andreessen.
Yeah, talk to me.
Based on a wasn't expecting that, but damn standpoint, go ahead and look at the defensive roster in general. And you could probably say that about it. When did we not say this about just about everybody on here? You said the same thing. Well, I didn't know Terrell Bernard was going to be that good. Christian Benford, who the hell saw that coming? Teron Johnson, all of a sudden, he's going to be one of the best in the league at the position. I remember his coming out party, right? Pick six against Lamar Jackson. No one even knew really who the guy was at that point. Now, all of a sudden, cornerstone on the defense. You bring in Rasul Douglas last year. Oh, he's washed up. Just happens to have one of the best seasons of his career last year. You look up and down this defensive roster, and it almost gives you even added hope that the guy has the ability to be something. That's the one thing McDermott never gets credit for. There's a ton of guys on this defense, and all of a sudden you take for granted that are good. I don't know if they would have been that good in another setting with another coach. McDermott constantly gets ridiculed for things that don't happen either offensively or the other team does. Never gets any of the credit for stuff like this. So just to recap, or just to put a bow on that, Rico, it's been done several times before on this team. Now, not to the extent of an undrafted guy from Buffalo. I mean, this is a whole different ballgame. It's an incredible setting to be a great story. But to think that there were guys on this team that were just supposed to be as good as they are is not accurate. So this certainly could be another one of those guys on that list that you look back on and say, man, you know, unbelievable that he wound up being what he was.
Speaking of unbelievable, you know who else was unbelievable today and was unbelievable last week? Gregory freaking Rousseau.
Thank you, because you asked who stood out on the defense, and there were two guys I was going to go, and that's the first one on my list. Absolutely.
Greg Rousseau was a man amongst boys today, and in the short time that he got onto the field, he was giving Broderick Jones a handful, number 77. I made a mistake when I was on Bleacher Report. I said 74. 77 could not handle Greg Rousseau. Greg Rousseau was inside. Greg Rousseau was outside. Greg Rousseau was jacking him up.
He was eating his ass.
Buddy, 2.5 sacks coming from Greg Rousseau. And I'll tell you, if Greg Rousseau is playing for the contract that I know he's playing for, look for him to have double-digit sacks this year. He is going, not only because we know Greg Rousseau is a great run defender. He defends the run extremely well. He's got length. He's got strength. He's got all that good stuff. But the one thing that I've always wanted Greg to enhance in his game was his pass rush, to get after the quarterback. And it's not like he's not capable of doing it. He is. He had multiple five sack games when he was in college. So he knows how to get after it. And I interviewed him a couple years ago at his rookie season, a few years ago. Jesus, it feels like it's been forever. His rookie season. And I asked him, I was like, what is it when you get in the zone? He's like, it's all about setting up your offensive tackle. Do a certain move multiple times. He thinks he's got you. It's chess. And a minute you think he thinks he's got you, boom, you switch up with another move. And it just looked like he just could do what the heck he wanted with Broderick Jones today. And Broderick Jones is going to go back to the film room and look at the film, and everybody's going to look at him and be like, bro, you got manhandled. You got moved all over the place. And that is concerning for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But what a great, great moment to see Greg Rousseau come into his own. And he's getting that money. He's going to get that money. They gave him this fifth-year option. They picked it up. So Now he's playing for a big contract. So this is the year. Double-digit sacks coming up. Greg Rousseau, he's showing it. He showed it week one in preseason. He showed it again. And I think he's going to have a solid year. He has to stay healthy. And if he stays healthy, that's a double-digit sack guy and could push for a Pro Bowl. I'm so pumped for Greg Rousseau.
Yeah, and I think you also look at the situation at hand. And now you got Russell Wilson fighting for a job, right? So this is like what during those series, this isn't your bullshit preseason, go out there and hand the ball off and then get off the field and let's get out of here, stay healthy and move on to the next week before we inevitably get to the regular season. This was a moment tonight for the Steelers that was somewhat seismic. They're trying to figure out what the hell the future is going to be offensively for them. They're trying to weigh the option between Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. And tonight, Russell Wilson's back off an injury. And this is the first opportunity they get to see him in a game setting in a Pittsburgh Steelers uniform and see if they have something there. And Greg Rousseau absolutely ruined the coming out party.
He did.
For Russell Wilson at 2.5 sacks in a brief stint out there. He made Russell Wilson look like the Denver Broncos iteration of Russell Wilson that Sean Payton couldn't get rid of fast enough. He absolutely blew up the offensive line. I'm talking manhandle. It looked like me playing offensive line out there. We know Greg Rousseau when he was drafted, he was easily fitting the bill of the guys that Brandon Bean is obsessed with. And it's the mutants, as we refer to him. The guy is a freak athletically. Also the size, right? You were kind of waiting for it to all maturate into something like we saw tonight where all the cylinders are clicking. And I think that when you pair him alongside Ed Oliver, who had another great night tonight, and you talk about the contract situation, people forget that the Ed Oliver contract, it wasn't like, let's 100% do it. There were plenty of people out there on the fence about it. I don't know if it's worth it. I don't know if re-signing Ed Oliver, it almost felt like it was the sentiment surrounding Tremaine Edmonds, but just lesser. I think there were more people who wanted Ed Oliver than Tremaine Edmonds, but there was still a conversation out there. And then you pay Ed Oliver, and I don't think you could imagine what you would be like right now going into the season on the defensive line without a guy like Ed Oliver, because now he's the face of the defensive line. Greg Rousseau has the opportunity to get to that point. I think, as you were mentioning, Rico, we've seen the steps. We've seen the progression.
Absolutely.
And it's nights like tonight that make you realize what the guy's capable of. And I'll reemphasize, it's not like he's out there tonight in a preseason situation that was meaningless, in a preseason situation where guys are pretty much just playing flag football. They were going out there to try to get an initial read on Russell Wilson and this offense, and Greg Rousseau absolutely rained on the parade. So an extraordinary performance. And I know we talk about the regular season as something that's just you want to get through it, but it's the moments like tonight. This is why we wanted to see Allen, by the way. It's the moments like this. Like if Allen were to go out, I'll give you an example. Earlier today, Xavier Worthy, I think he had like what?
Three receptions.
A huge catch from Mahomes.
Yep.
It doesn't mean anything, but it gets you excited and it gives you an idea of, oh man, imagine if we see more of that in the regular season. This is why we like to see these things. This is one of those examples tonight for the Buffalo Bills on the defensive side of things, where you get to see that tandem of Oliver and Rousseau, and they both decimated the offensive line of the Steelers. And guess what, Rico? They're not going to get the credit for it, but Monday morning sports talk radio is going to be shitting on Russell Wilson. And you can thank Greg Rousseau for that. Whether you're a fan of Russell Wilson or not, the inevitability is he's going to get dogged on because it was an awful outing. I don't even know if they got a first down. And if they did, it was very forgetful. Ed Oliver was the reason why that's going to be the talking point Monday morning.
Absolutely. Russell Wilson today, 8-for-10, 47 yards, 3 sacks with a rating of 86.2. So he was taking what the defense was giving him, and we weren't giving him a whole lot. And the time that he needed to make and dissect and make those throws, he didn't really have that time because Greg Rousseau was on his behind. So was Ed Oliver. So the one thing that you can always depend on and rely on is McDermott's defenders will always be ready. Whether you're an undrafted guy or you're a veteran guy, you will be ready to be impactful on this defense. You're where you're supposed to be, and you're sniffing the football. That's what matters. And you saw that with Andreessen today. You saw that with Greg Rousseau. You saw that with Javon Solomon. Javon Solomon had some nice flash moments in the game today. So a lot of us can sit there and kind of worry that we don't have Jordan Poyer. We don't have Micah Hyde. Oh, yeah, Leonard Floyd is gone too. oh, we just lost Matt Milano. It was all doom and gloom. I'm not saying that we won't have our struggles this year. There's going to be times that players and teams and quarterbacks will pick apart our weaknesses, but this is where coaching comes in, and you've got to kind of shorten up those deficiencies. So I think we're going to be just fine on offense, excuse me, on defense. I think we got the players to do it, and we didn't have a full capacity. We didn't have the Von Millers, and we didn't have everybody in rotation. So I think we'll be great. We'll be fine, but I love seeing Greg Rousseau come in and really flash and show you, okay, I got it. So it's a matter of time until we really gel. Like I said, I'm almost with you. I don't know if there's a rule where you can say, oh, man, can we just cancel preseason week three and just go into week one? Because ain't nobody trying to see any injuries. And you know it's just going to be straight backups playing. And you saw what we have in Mitch Trubisky, and you certainly saw what we have in Ben DiNucci. And it's not Ben DiNucci's fault. You just got here. You're trying to learn this offense, and kudos to him. He was able to, you know, make a few passes today. He went 3 for 5. He threw 5 passes, and one of them was a screenplay. I think that went for, what, 20 yards? Not even. I'm not even sure what he went for. The long, I forgot what his long was. But
is he the one who hit Davidson, the tight end? Is he the one who hit him for the long gain, or was that?
No, that was Trubisky. Trubisky okay. Hit Davidson for that 27 yarder, and we go from there. The receiver spot is another concern of ours. I mean, I don't want to move on to it just yet, but it's just nice to see some of the starters get their time on defense, and it's just a matter of building. You want to build on what you've done. And that's what I like preseason about. If Josh Allen came in and played and went, let's just say he went 7 for 19. I won't even say 17. 7 for 13, right? 7 for 12. All right. And he had 88 yards and a touchdown to Keon Coleman. Bro, call it a day. I'm happy. There was the ball was moving.
Yes.
He hit his target. He hit the guy that we drafted, and let's roll. But we got none of that. So that's why fans like myself and others are like, dang, man, we really wanted to see Josh Allen. But I mean, shoot, we get it. We don't want to get him hurt. And if he does get hurt, we're done. And we don't want to be done early in the season. So let's just hold off, and we'll wait till week one. But nonetheless, it was really good to see some players flash today, especially those of Greg Rousseau. Javon Solomon did some good things today. And we're looking forward to more. Let me switch up. I have to ask you something. So looking at this receiving crew, you were able to see a little bit of Mac Hollins today. Yep. So obviously the big four is already in check. You got Keon, Khalil, Curtis Samuel, and Mac Hollins. The bottom of the receiving crew is it's a mess right now.
It's falling apart.
MVS going down and getting absolutely blasted today didn't help. I must have turned my head because I didn't see, it looked like a routine tackle. Maybe I missed it. I don't know if it was really bad or not, but the fact that he got to leave the game on a cart with a neck injury is something to consider. So are you leaving the receiving core the way it is and let the guys battle the way it is? Or are you bringing in the likes of Corey Davis like they've been having a conversation about? Or do you let things play out with the Andy Isabella, Justin Shorter, KJ Hamler, and so on and so forth? Because you know Claypool's gone. So what say you on receivers 5 and 6?
Yeah, because we were just having this conversation last week where we were saying who's going to be on the outside looking in of this wide receiver room, and you were saying MVS, I was saying Claypool, and now fast forward a week, and it could be both. Claypool, already lock it in. He's done. He's not on the team anymore. Injured all throughout the preseason. Didn't even get to really get a look at him, and then they make a settlement, you know, where it's paid leave, essentially, or whatever it is in the NFL when you're hurt and can't participate. Done. So that opportunity, whether it would have been something we all for the most part thought it wouldn't be, but we were like, hey, why not see what the opportunity might be for the Bills this time around, as opposed to the other teams he's been on that were, you know, it hasn't been able to work out. So that option's off the table.
Yep.
And then MVS, who you're thinking, you know, it, throughout his career, a lot of inconsistency, and it's been more consistently than it has been, you know, something you want to sign up for long term or rely on. But he has had flashes, and even had so against the Bills last season, where you know what he's capable of, and you're thinking maybe you can get a little bit of that too. And then tonight winds up getting carted off, which absolutely sucks. So you do look at this receiving room, and yeah, you get Pat, you go to Coleman, Shakir, right? And then you have Hollins and Samuel. Past that, I don't even know if it matters, like Rico, at this point. It's going to have to just be the gut decision of the coaching staff as to how they feel approaching next up in that regard should be. I mean, you go immediately to the tight ends after that. As it sits right now, there's nobody else outside of those guys that anyone's going to rely on to be impactful for this Buffalo Bills offense. I think that MBS was that guy that was fringe in terms of thinking he was going to be impactful for this offense. And now you're unsure if he's even going to have that opportunity. Now, we don't know the extent of the injury yet. We'll find out, I'm sure. But nonetheless, a neck injury to where you get carted off 3 weeks before the season, not a good sign. And it wasn't even like it was a guarantee that he was going to be in the fold as it was anyways. So I do like the top of it. I really love the tight end situation. I'm just wondering, Rico, if what we saw tonight, which was a hell of a lot of running, is going to be, once again, the focal point for Joe Brady, as it was last year when he took over coaching this Buffalo Bills offense. I think a lot of two tight end sets. The Bills were probably the best in the league in running that set last year when they did. They did it more than they ever had last year, and it was successful. And I have a feeling Joe Brady will build on that in Kincaid's second year. And, you know, even though you did draft Kincaid, we still know that Dawson Knox can still be a hell of a contributor for this offense, especially this year when he's going to have to be. You don't have the ability to have a luxury of going from one tight end to the other and hoping one's, you know, efficient and maybe you get a little bit out of somebody else or vice versa. Both those guys are going to have to be impactful. So honestly, Rico, looking at the lower end of the wide receiver room right now, I mean, it would just be a lot of hearsay. We're going to have to pray to God that the top of that room stays healthy. And you're going to have to pray that Kincaid makes another big leap in his second year. You're going to have to pray James Cook has another 1,000 yards in him and contributes more in the pass game than he did last year. And this is why I've been arguing that I think, despite him coming out and saying he doesn't love it, this is why I think Josh Allen will probably run more than maybe he ever has this season. I don't know how he couldn't. I think he's going to have to. Because if even one domino falls offensively, Rico, on the wide receiver side of things, I don't know as it stands right now who would be the next guy to step up, especially if MBS isn't in the fold after this injury.
It is going to be a tough one. So, and this is why these preseason games are important. And this is why, for especially the bottom tier guys like Tyrell Shavers and all those good guys, this is why you need a quarterback that can sling the rock. And this is tough for guys that are trying to make this team when you have a quarterback that just brought here. So you got to make the most of it. You got to make the best of it. And hopefully these guys do. So before we get to our next topic, I did want to talk about a wonderful opportunity we have had. And we partnered up with Autograph, folks.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you guys aren't familiar, we partnered up with an app that you guys can everything Buffalo related, where you want to get your articles, your videos, your podcast, everything you can think of is right here in your Autograph. It's a free download. Go ahead and download that. We partnered up with them. And here's the cool thing about it. With this partnership, you're able to earn fan coins. And by doing that, by integrating and interacting with this app, you're able to collect these fan points and you're able to get merch, tickets, memorabilia, any of those things. I think it's a cool thing. And here's the biggest thing, right? There's a guy by the name of Tom Brady that has something to do with Autographs. So this thing here is an amazing opportunity, and it allows you guys to join and download that app. And here's the good thing. When you do download up and you want to collect your fan points, all that good stuff, use the code Buffalo Fanatics. Is that simple? Is that great? We've joined with these guys, our new sponsor partners. This is massive. So go ahead and download that app, Autograph, and all your PlayStation, PlayStation, you got me saying same PlayStation, and all your apps you can download. And the link is actually in the description. So go ahead and jump into that. So that beast, yeah. My guy.
By the way, I just want to say, we go check it out. The link's down below. If you ever use like Reddit or anything, essentially it would be like having a gigantic forum for nothing but the Bills. So here it is on the app. And what you have in one spot, all your favorite podcasts are on in the Bills, all your favorite YouTube shows, all your favorite articles, and all of the top tweets, all in one spot. You can even watch this show right now on the Autograph app. You can watch this show. You can listen to our podcast all the while. You're earning points that can go towards a variety of things that you can use towards more Bill stuff like tickets and jerseys. Really cool idea, and we're really happy to be partnering with him because we love the premise. So excited to be working with Autograph.
awesome, awesome app. So go ahead and download that, fellas. Listen, we got to talk about the elephant in the room, my guy. We haven't had a chance to really dive into this. Listen, there's no way about it. I know some of us have come into to grips with it. We get it. It's over with. Matt Milano out for a significant amount of time. Maybe the season. Maybe he returns in December/January, depending on how he heals. I haven't had your thoughts on the loss of Matt Milano. Are we doomed without Matt Milano?
We're certainly not doomed, but man, is it a major blow to this team, to this fan base. I had said the other day when it first happened, first of all, the worst part about it is the fact that there's guys in this league that are so good that just cannot for the life of them avoid the injury bug. I don't know what it is, but there's some guys that just cannot seem to stay away from it. It is a tragedy. I mean, you look at Matt Milano, and he's had an injury almost every single year, and it's gotten progressively worse to the point where last year it was three quarters of the season, and then this year more than likely will be the entire season, because I think even if he is ready to come back, we saw what that looked like with Von Miller last year. We saw what that looked like to some extent with Tre'Davious White. Like, it's just not probably going to be in the cards, in my opinion, unless they get to the point in the playoffs where he is fully ready to go and they wind up taking a crack at it. But either way, you're going to be playing all the way until probably at least late December before it's even an opportunity. And the fact that it's a different type of injury now, you go an entire year rehabbing one just to have to do it again. I feel absolutely awful for the guy. Once he had finally gotten to the point, Rico, where he had reached enough, I don't know if notoriety is the right word, because he certainly had notoriety in Buffalo, but national notoriety to the point where people were starting to understand that Matt Milano was one of the best linebackers in this league, earning an all-pro bid the year before last. And then all of a sudden, after that, going into your prime years, you then miss the majority of all of last season and now this year, and you know how it goes, getting another 2 years behind you without playing, getting older with the injury history. It's absolutely tragic. You never want to see it happen to anybody, but when it happens to a guy like this, who everybody in Buffalo loves, who this team rallies around, you saw what I thought was the most pertinent example, or there's two.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Rather of how much this guy means to the team. Let's go back to last year when he goes down in that Jacksonville game. I don't know if you remember, but it just felt like the air just evaporated.
Yep.
Not only in the stadium in London, but at home as well. And you could tell by the team and the way that they played, the vibe was entirely off. They played awful that game. They weren't playing great up until the injury. It was twice as bad afterwards. And you could just feel the presence of him not being there. And then earlier this past week, when Deion Dawkins had the news broken to him, you saw it hit him right over the face. A reporter broke the news to him. He just seemed devastated.
Yep.
Sean McDermott as well, talking about it at the podium. He seemed like he just saw a ghost. So it absolutely sucks. I feel like this about Matt Milano, Rico. I feel like he's the Josh Allen of the defense in terms of when he's out there, you know you're in good hands. You feel confident about their ability to succeed every single play. When he's not, it feels dramatically different. Now, I had said the defense, you're much more likely to be able to overcome a loss like Matt Milano because of the offense being so centered around the quarterback. But my point being, the vibe, the energy, I don't know how else to describe it. It just feels different. It's almost like his energy is very palpable when he's on the field, and it's even more palpable when he's not, because even though the defense has succeeded without him, you just know how much more of an enforcer the Bills defense feels like when he is out there. He's the leader of the defense. He's the captain of the defense, and ultimately one of, if not the best player on the defense, Rico. Tragic that we lose Matt Milano again this upcoming season.
It is tragic, but on the bright side, we've learned to play without, and it has forced players to step up. It's forced Terrell Bernard to step up, and it is now going to force Dorian Williams to step up sooner than he anticipated that he would. But nonetheless, we drafted him in the third round for a reason. And Brandon Bean also understands this is a player that is how old is he? He's not 30 yet. I think he's actually 30 on the dot. He's 30 on the dot. And a lot of questions now come to mind. Is he done in Buffalo? Does it make sense for him to be done in Buffalo? Do you want to see him in another uniform? But the problem is, you can't take a chance on paying this man if he can't stay healthy. And that's the bad part, right? So I looked up like the history of it. If you look at this little diagram here, a lot of his injuries are one-sided, right? You've got October 4th, he had a chest injury in 2020. In 2024, obviously, he tore his biceps, so that puts him on the injured reserve. Maybe he comes back in December, depending on how he does. He had a muscle sprain in 2022, abdominal pull. And then obviously he had the tibia. He had the MCL. I mean, look, he's had his injuries along the year. And this is the second straight year that we do not have our linebacker. And we've learned to adapt and play without. It sucks because you've heard me say it multiple times that this was the group that I was looking most forward to watching together play. And that, like you said, super deflating to see that happen. But I mean, listen. Sometimes these things happen and it allows you to obviously develop somebody, and sometimes you got to develop someone quicker. And look, Matt Milano being out has now got everybody talking about Joe Andreessen. I'm not saying Joe Andreessen is the next Matt Milano, but the fact of the matter is this, next man up. And that's exactly what happened. So my question, though, the tough question, what do you do with Matt Milano next year? Do you bring him back? Number one. And I'm about to take a look at his contract.
He signed through 2026, I believe. So he'll be back next year, I would imagine. Because they just extended him, 2 years ago?
That's why I wanted to look up. I just wanted to double check and see what they're saying about it. But I bring this up because I've seen some conversations about Milano, and they're saying, hey, Milano's career is done. I've seen it multiple times. Yep. He's done. He's absolutely done. And you can't necessarily say that because but there's a guy by the name of Thomas Davis. And Thomas Davis, extraordinary linebacker, he's had multiple injuries where you think you are done. You are absolutely done. You're not gonna go anywhere. And Thomas Davis must have tore his ACL like two or three times. It's something wild. And this guy was able to still have a productive career. So you can't really count these types of players out. So Matt Milano being done, I'm not sure I'm ready to follow that trend. But let's play devil's advocate here. Dorian Williams comes out and is an absolute stud, right? Terrell Bernard has a season where he's an all-pro. Now you got Milano coming back. You have Dorian Williams going to his third year next year. You're in a predicament. Yes, you have three great players, but now you have one that's been starting, has been doing well. And what do you do with Matt Milano? And what do we change our defense and go 4-3? Doubtful. We like our nickel in Teron Johnson. So what do you do? And I see I've seen so many people talk about it's over. You got to move on from him before it's too late. Because if you try to re-sign him or bring him back to another team and you have him on the roster and he does it again where he gets hurt, then you're back in the same spot. He's 30. It's not going to get any better. So I'm putting you in a tough spot. Is it a no-brainer? Bring him back. I don't want to hear anything about it. Go. But then what do you do with the development of Dorian Williams? What do you do with the development, the prowess of Terrell Bernard, if those things work out? I'm putting you in a tough spot, I know. So what are your thoughts on that?
I think we just got a carbon copy example of what this could possibly look like with Tre'Davious White. Because Tre'Davious White was an all-pro and gets injured, misses a season, comes back, gets injured, misses another season. Now he's not a Buffalo Bill. And the Bills have now had to get too used to playing without Matt Milano. And, you know, they're way better with him. But they have succeeded in terrific fashion. I mean, they haven't just gotten by. They have been a top defense without him. It's just the luxury of having him is just night and day. I go back to the Chiefs game every time from the divisional round last year. If Matt Milano's out on that field, I just don't think Travis Kelce's running all over the field all day like he does. Like it's night and day. And same can be said for Bernard, right? So when you have these guys go down, it's just it's devastating. But when you're talking about this stuff, it's when it really gets even more devastating because from the business perspective, you would never have wanted to see Tre'Davious White go, but that is exactly what ended up happening, and it was the right decision. It had to be made. Now, luckily for us, he's signed up until what's that say? After the 2026 season.
That's right. So we have potential out. If we want to move out from his contract,
correct.
We can do it in 2026. The dead cap hit would be $11 million.
Correct.
$11 million dead cap hit.
But that implies that he will be here next year.
Absolutely. He's here next year 100%.
So this is the difference, in my opinion, between this and the Tre'Davious White thing. Tre'Davious White, it was, I don't know about you, but it just seemed blatantly obvious he was not going to be the same after that injury. He seemed hesitant to come back. When he did come back, he went down almost instantly, and it just never felt the same. Matt Milano, I think the dude is just an absolute dog. I said this the other day, like the guy, I wouldn't want to bump into him in an alleyway. You know what I mean? The guy is a freak like that. I think that there's probably nobody on the field at any given moment who's willing to play harder than Matt Milano does. I mean, I think this might attribute to why this stuff happens to him. He's hitting bags to the point where he winds up blowing his shoulder out. I mean, yeah, his bicep out. So you know how I feel about Matt Milano. He's one of my all-time favorite players. So it makes me sick to even discuss this. But I'll say this. comes back next year and plays well, you don't have to, I don't even have to consider it. But here's the deal. You come back out next year and you get hurt again. I mean, I think we all know where this is going. I think we absolutely all know, and it's inevitable that way. I think that he, out of anyone else, I think a guy like him can come back and perform, because I just think he has that in that wiring like that. I just think he is built like that. But
so let me tell you this,
tough, man. I'll tell you.
I know, it's a tough one. So let me tell you this. So right now he's got a cap hit of $12 million. All right. So that's what his cap is toward. That's the money towards our cap. Next year, that's $16 million. All right. So that's significantly more. So he gets hurt. 60 mil just to sit there and chill.
If he gets hurt with that opt out going into 2026, it's over.
But here's the thing, though. And in the comment section, Alden said it, and Walter is backing it up. They've moved on from Stephon Diggs, and he had a major cap hit. Now, obviously, the difference is they were mutually not interested in one another, clearly, because he got moved. But there was a big dead cap hit that kept on telling fans, bro, that dead cap hit was 31 mil. It ain't happening. He's sticking around. And then here comes Brandon Bean saying, hold my beer while I move on from this, brother. So now you have to take a chance with Milano and say next year. And this is with the emergence of Dorian Williams. Let's just say Dorian Williams is just an absolute star. Terrell Bernard continues to do the big things. And that duo is just unstoppable. You know he's coming back next year. But now you're like, do I move on from you like I did Trey White? And do I risk another injury? And I'm like, here we go again. So, I mean, that's a Brandon Bean issue. So
I think the major difference there is that both parties wanted out in the Diggs situation. I don't think either party wants party in this situation doesn't want to separate. So I don't think him being removed from the team is in jeopardy, at least going into next year because of these injuries. But like I said, next year, if something else happens, I don't know how you, it isn't the move you make, because you have that opt out going into the following season. So we've seen him be able to come back and perform well. I'm praying for it again, but man, like, just the fact that this happened right when we were all getting excited to see him go back out there again, it's the most deflating thing ever. It's tough.
And folks, let's premise this. This is not something that Bot and I want to happen. We want Milano back, and we want him on the squad for a long time. But then you just know that business has something to do with this. Do you risk another injury, and does this player come back the same? I mean, granted, it's not a knee injury, so this is a blessing in disguise. It gives his knee a lot more time to heal. That's about time in January hits, December, January hits, he might be tip-top shape, ready to go. You just never know how these things play out. But it will be a topic of conversation. I can promise you that next year, if Dorian Williams is an absolute stud, and Terrell Bernard continues to be that guy. So it'll be really interesting to see how that all plays out with Milano and his unfortunate injury. It really sucks. Wanted to see this guy play this year, man.
How many times did we come on here and just said that's the thing we're most excited for? I mean, I almost said it a million times. Like,
super excited for that.
I don't know if this factored into it at all, Rico, but I figured I'd share you this before we moved on to our next topic. This is the latest odds from BetUS on the AFC East. I don't know if the Milano thing factored into it. I doubt it, but regardless, just figured I'd show you this before we move on to our next topic, because I found it to be awfully interesting. You notice anything about those odds right in front of you?
Oh, how about that?
We have a new leader in the doghouse, folks. According to BetUS, by the way, link in the description below, 125% sign up bonus up to $2,000 on your first three deposits. If you want to go in and take that link and take advantage of the Bills now being the second overall favorite to win the AFC East, to the New Jersey Jets, who haven't made the playoffs since 2010, feel free to go take advantage of that. So I figured I'd show you this, Rico, because people are like saying, oh, we don't have to worry about this. We don't have to worry about that. Clearly there's people out there who feel differently, because the Jets have propelled themselves up to now being the favorite to win it all in the division this year.
So talk to me. What in the heck changed the odds? I mean, the odds were tight to begin with. I mean, yes. I think we were at 170, and they were 175.
They fluctuate all the time. But either way, regardless of the fluctuation, it just goes to show you how tight it really is.
So what changed? What made the Jets leap the Bills?
maybe it was the public perception of the game last week, even though it doesn't matter, the Bears blowing out the Bills. That could be something. I mean, you know how it goes. There's so much that factors into this. It could be the Milano situation. I just find, no matter what the reasoning, I find it just utterly fascinating. The team that has not made the playoffs in well over a decade is now propelled to be the favorite over the team that's won this thing in four consecutive seasons. I can't get enough of it. It's my favorite. It was always like the Dolphins were always the ones that I'm like, I just can't wait to beat that ass this year, right? The Jets are 100% that for me this year. The Dolphins are still that, but it's the Jets with Aaron Rodgers. If we could have one win this year where the Bills just unleash the dogs, it would be that Monday night, week six in New York, because Rico, this stuff, every time I see it, and you'd figure I'd get used to it by now, but I can't. It kills me.
Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, man, the Jets are not a team to play with. I've been saying it since last year. Everyone, oh, Rico, you shook. You shook of the Jets. Listen, Zach Wilson took it to us. All right? Zach Wilson took it to us. And now they got Aaron Rodgers back. And I don't know if you saw the footage today, but Miles Sanders, I guess it was a joint practice with the Panthers, and was running towards Sauce Gardner. Sauce Gardner absolutely lit him up. Lit him up to the point where the cart had to be called out.
Really? I didn't see this.
Listen, you type in Sauce Gardner into Twitter. Let me see if I can find it. You type in Sauce Gardner. I'm gonna find it for you guys right now. Because he absolutely put...
Oh, I just saw
it. ...on his arse. He put... Listen, I'm gonna share that shit right now.
Oh, Rico, you got had. You got it. It's not Sauce Gardner and it's not Miles Sanders.
Oh my gosh.
Sauce Gardner commented on it and he said, I think even if that was me, the world wouldn't believe it. They know I don't hit like that.
Well, and I was baffled by that because I'm like, Sauce Gardner did that?
I'll pull it up.
Clip so many times. I was like, that guy's way too big to be Sauce Gardner.
I was going to say, dude, Sauce Gardner is like one of the skinnier dudes on the football field.
Absolutely.
Here it is. So here's Sauce, and it even got community noted. Rico, that's
how I'm so glad. I'm so glad
it went viral. Here it is. I mean, that's a hit, though. Damn, boom.
I'm like, Sauce Gardner did that. That is Sauce Gardner. I was like, damn, that's a. I'm like, since when did he get swelled up like that, and he hitting like that corner? Bow. That's how you. I'm like,
that's just safety Chuck Clark. Chuba Hubbard, though, that's no joke getting hit like that.
Well, first of all. Chubb Harbor is not a big guy. He's a fellow Canadian out of Saskatchewan.
Is he now?
Saskatchewan. You don't run like that. You put your head down. You bury that safety. What are you doing? Or you juke around him. I mean, you're an open field man. Yeah, you're a speed guy. You're not a power guy. Chuck Clark will lay the wood, and that he did. And now you got carted off allegedly. Now I don't even know what to believe nowadays. So nonetheless,
You know it's bad when it gets community noted.
I know, right?
It's these guys who put ESPN in their handle, and then you click on their profile, yeah, and it's like covering ball sack sports or whatever the hell. Like, it's, you can never tell. It's hilarious, though.
Well, Mr. Walter says, I ain't taking the Jets serious until they give us a reason to. I mean, they should have gave you a reason last year, so I don't know what you're talking about. They should have gave you a reason last year.
Should they have another losing season?
I certainly did get had by Sauce Gardner. Saul Gardner. But yeah, nonetheless, yeah, man, so at the end of the day, listen, the Jets, I mean, it's going to go back and forth between the Jets and the Bills on winning the AFC East, unless the Dolphins come out.
Dolphins done to you?
I mean, listen, you can never say Dolphins are done. I mean, they look good, and we'll see how it plays out. But I mean, we've made the Dolphins our stepchild for so long. I mean, it's just something that is a guarantee to happen every year. So we'll see how that plays out. But the Jets, on the other hand, it's going to be tough. Has your win total changed for the Bills? We went about 12 wins for the Bills. Now
that
they've looked, has it changed? Are we down to 11 wins? Are we up 13 wins?
I mean, once again, so here's what the public perception is, right? It's 10.5. And we talked about this before on BetUS.
I am absolutely on alert. Don't you swear? I am absolutely on alert.
Don't worry, folks. I am not. I am not.
You are.
I will be put on alert when I hear the siren. But right now, I'm hearing nothing but dead silence, folks.
There you go, Vika.
Right now, 10.5 and we talked about this before on BetUS, but the under's the favorite, Rico. The under's the favorite. Now, to me, let me base this off of what I know. This team got to 11 last year with twice the injuries, including Matt Milano. I'm not going to say this team is not a double-digit win team, 11-win team, until I see it right in front of me. Because last year, Rico, they were on pace. They should have been, they really should have been 8-9. I mean, let's be honest, the way things were going, 11 and 6, and a division title, a playoff win, they should have been at home the way things were going. It hasn't changed for me. Now, does my anxiety level increase as far as my dependability in the defense and the based on one, being able to replicate what they did last year with the injuries, but two, getting the depth to fill the void again? I mean, can we just rely on that? That's another thing. Yeah, that's changed. But the idea that this team isn't going to be capable of getting to 11 wins has not. Has it changed for you?
It's changed a little bit. It's changed a little bit because I haven't seen the chemistry yet.
Well, that's a good point. I know.
I haven't seen the chemistry yet in these preseason games. We got to keep it a buck. I know people want to say, well, it's only preseason. You're right. It's only preseason. And we haven't seen anything from Josh and the starting unit. And when we and what we did see of Josh and the starting unit, it wasn't great. It wasn't great at all. So I will hold my reservations for this team on the 12 wins. I'm going to stick to 12 wins because that's how I started it. But it certainly isn't going to be 13 wins with the way.
What about 14?
This team is. How about? Excuse me. Yeah, exactly. You could even keep that serious face in there. I'm like 10.5 wins is apropos. 11 wins. Yeah, I mean, 11 wins is still, but question is, does 11 wins get you in?
Yes, 11 wins is going to get you in. 11 wins is going to get you in. Here's the nice thing, Rico. I think we will know exactly what this team is by October 15th. That's how I see it.
What game is October 15th? That's Tennessee, isn't it?
No, because by the Tennessee, well, good memory, because the Tennessee game is the next one after that.
Okay.
But by the time, October 15th, will be the Tuesday following the Jets Monday night game. Okay. Up until that point, they'll have played 6 games, and here are the 6 games they'll have played: Cardinals, Dolphins, Jags, Ravens, Texans, Jets. Okay. 5 of those 6 games are against 5 AFC teams that everyone anticipates is going to be either in the playoffs or fighting to be in the playoffs in the last couple of weeks. If the Bills succeed through that gauntlet, get ready to rock. If they get walked on, get ready to endure a long season. That's basically how I see it. I don't think, Rico, you could have a better sample size in terms of figuring out what your team's going to be other than that schedule, right? The Dolphins, the Jags, the Ravens, the Texans, the Jets. That's murderer's row in the AFC. Outside of the Chiefs and the Bengals in that mix, you're pretty much playing the top of the totem pole there. You're going to know. So what do you think about that?
That is when you like, so listen, what is it, a month ago? When did the schedule come out? In May?
It feels like 10 years ago. It's been so long.
Then it felt good because of what we anticipated. We back my line.
We were excited. We were excited. Right?
And we got the dog bag and blah, blah, blah. Right.
Yeah.
I'm gonna tell you right now, man. I'm gonna keep it a buck. I don't know. That 10.5 is kind of looking legit to me right now because
so you're an under guy right now.
I don't want to be that guy, but I'm gonna be that guy. I think easy. I'm not under. Easy now.
Oh, okay.
I'm not under. I was anticipating 12 wins, but 11 wins. I think we're about 11.
So you're saying they're closer to 10 wins than they are to 13 wins. That's how you.
Yes. Yes, that's okay. The way I'm looking at it. They're closer to 10 wins before they're even close to 13. Listen, the first 4 games are still tough.
Yes. It's not a write-off. It is not.
It's not at all. And I don't want people thinking that we sitting here shook because we're not. But we're also – I got a preface because look at these two bozos that think that we're
– Look at this asshole with his toupee saying the Bills are going to lose it.
You feel me? So – We're not at all saying that, but we're also keeping it real because the first 4 games, I mean, it ain't a cakewalk. It certainly is not a
key. All six of those games. And by the way, I'm pretty sure you think the Titans are going to be better than they were last year, right?
Absolutely. I think the Titans.
So that's another one. Seattle is no joke. The Dolphins, again, this schedule in general, it is a rough go. And then the latter half of the year, I mean, yeah, you get your two bye weeks essentially with New England, thank God, even though they blew one of those last year. That was supposed to be a bye week. But then, you know, in order here, you got a Richardson now led Colts team that was close to making the playoffs without him last year. And then it goes Chiefs, Niners, Rams, Lions.
Oh, it's tough. It's gonna be tough here. It's gonna be tough here, man. So, yeah, you know, I'm right. I said I'm closer to 10 wins than 13. I absolutely am. My man Walter says, to be fair, we said the same thing, but the opposite order last year. Last season wasn't easy in the beginning and supposed to be tough in the second half. It's true. We did say things.
Okay, who's we? Because they played the Commanders. I don't think anybody was afraid of that. They played the Raiders. I don't think anybody was afraid of that. I wasn't afraid of the Jets week one, even though I was afraid afterwards of the nightmares it gave me.
We were talking about the beginning. The beginning of the year was going to be the tough one, and then it was our. And then we ended up really doing.
Who said last year the beginning was going to be tough?
I mean, who did we start? Who did we start off with? We start with
the Jets, the Commanders, the Raiders, the Dolphins. I wasn't fearful of any of that.
So I guess the tough part was the middle of the season.
I think so.
So which
right now is when we played the Eagles, the Chiefs in the middle of the season, Bengals. Right. It was the midpoint, I think.
Guess what? The midpoint is going to be around. I mean, the season is going to be tough.
Oh, Walter was saying the opposite. He's saying the opposite. He said last year, like this year, it's hard in the beginning. Okay. Last year was easy. All right, that makes sense.
That's accurate.
Yeah, that's true.
Nonetheless, it's the same conversation we have every year. And thank you, Roger Goodell, you asshole, for making our schedule a tough one. But I mean, at the end of the day, we all know that schedules mean absolutely nothing because a team that you thought was supposed to do super well end up being total ass. So we see, man, one game at a time. That's how it's going to come down to. I will say this, though. I like clean-shaven Josh Allen. Clean-shaven.
Oh, I'm loving this look. He looks.
I don't like this aloof-looking Josh Allen. I don't like it.
I'm loving it.
When you look good, you play good. And you can't tell me that you think you look good with the I don't know what kind of – what is he? He's got the hockey hair thing going?
Yeah, he's got the flow going. He's got the stash going. He's in it, as the kids say, he's giving an aura. He's giving an aura.
He's giving.
I love it. I think he looks great.
It's giving
12 and 5, Rico, to
me. If it's giving 12 and 5, I'll take 12 and 5.
I mean, it's giving more than whatever the hell Joe Burrow is doing with his neon white hair. I mean, I like this better.
That's giving Eminem, and hopefully he's the Eminem of before and not the Eminem of right now. So you're saying
it's giving an IDGAF type vibe? He just doesn't give a shit?
I don't know what it's giving, but we need to talk to his barber and say it's giving your get his ass in the seat and get him back to the Josh Allen we know. But maybe he's just doing it for preseason. To his barber.
He's a good dude. He just clearly hasn't been in there recently. Exactly.
I got to hit the barber up and Chief. I think his name is Chief. I got to hit the Chief. And bro, call your boy in and do it. By the way, for those that don't know, Josh Allen does not give two shits about his haircut. We know that for a fact. We were talking to this barber, and Josh Allen literally just goes in and says, yo, do whatever you need to do and just go. I don't care. Just go.
Dude's a farm boy. You think he gives a shit if it's got the park down the middle or whatever? He doesn't give a fuck.
He doesn't give two shits, man. And that's what you appreciate about Josh Allen. Don't care, man. Long hair, don't care.
That's what I appreciate. You don't like it. You don't like the do.
I like clean shaven, focused Josh. This new laissez-faire California boy / rancher look. Listen. It's giving what's that rancher movie that's going on right now? It's giving
Twister.
No, the one that with the cowboys and all that stuff and the ranch. Is it called the ranch? No, what is it? You guys know what I'm talking about. There's a rancher movie that's pretty popular right now on Netflix.
Netflix.
Somebody will tell me what it is, but it's given that. That's what it's given. It's given that.
Speaking of giving. What did you think the Bills running back room was given tonight, Rico? Because I was thoroughly impressed with what I saw in that department. I mean, we had your boy Ray Davis, so I know you're a big fan of. You got big expectations for Ray Davis.
Yellowstone. Thank you, Kim. Yellowstone.
First of all, Yellowstone's been on the air. So it's a TV show.
There you go.
I think it's been on the air for like a decade. You had me thinking. I'm like the box office. I haven't seen a farm on any commercials.
Golly, I didn't think it was giving.
Maybe it's not. I don't know. I don't watch that shit. Maybe it is.
But anyway,
what you were thinking of though? That was Yellowstone.
She got it. She nailed it.
It's giving out as usual.
Rancher, all that nonsense. But anyway, the running back room. Let's touch
7.3 yards a carry tonight, Rico, for Ray Davis. Frank Gore Jr., God bless him, man. Following his dad's footsteps tonight, looked phenomenal. He had 5 yards a carry, 8 for 41. And I thought James Cook and his limited availability tonight, Rico, he also looked really good as well. The offensive line really redeemed themselves from last week.
Everybody was eaten today in terms of the run game. Why? Because Ben DiNucci gang was in at quarterback, so we couldn't throw the football. So we had no choice but to run the football. But this is something that we needed because the last outing we had, we were poor. We couldn't run the ball for shit. We were getting stuffed. We were combined yardage for both James Cook and Ray Davis were less than 10 yards for crying out loud. So that's not going to cut it. So obviously Joe Brady decided to say, you know what? We got a new quarterback. If this game is going to be in any type of way where we're going to try to establish something, we got to establish a run because a quarterback does not know the playbook enough, guys. So we've got to help him out. O-line, kudos to the O-line. The second unit, excellent job. Second and third unit, excellent job. Loved it. We were still open up lanes. Even Darrington Evans was getting in the action. These boys came in with 167 yards rushing for just shy of 5 yards of pop.
That's what I'm talking about.
Listen, and we didn't really need any running yards from our quarterback. We didn't have
18 times. This is the Cowboys game reincarnated tonight, Rico, from last year.
I'm loving every bit of it. We did 179 yards against the Cowboys. This one here, 167. So 58 yards from my guy, Ray Davis. I know people were saying, man, where's your boy Ray Davis? Well, there he is, bitch. There he is. He was showing you what's really good, man. Don't sleep on Ray Davis. Don't you dare, because he's a baller. And I love Ty Johnson. Ty Johnson.
They didn't give him much burn tonight.
He had one carry today for 6 yards, but he looked really explosive. I'm surprised they didn't get him more touches. But Ray Davis led the day with 8 for 58. Frank Gore, 8 for 41 with 5 yards of carry. And we had Darrington Evans kind of sprinkle in, James Cook. So it's really nice to see some of the guys get it. To me, it's a no-brainer. Ray Davis is RB2, not only because he runs the ball well, but because he is someone you can trust in the pass blocking game. Last week I saw James Cook, a responsibility of the running back. Any running back should know your responsibility is inside, then out. Inside, then out, because the fastest to the quarterback is right through the middle. So you got inside and out. I don't care what your damn responsibility is. If you got a blitzing corner coming and hat on hat, you see everything, then you can slide you over. But you've got to stay inside, then out. James Cook, I don't know if he just didn't want any contact last week, but he allowed the inside guy to just shoot right in and get Josh Allen. No, that cannot happen. Ray Davis, don't play that mess. The minute he sees somebody, he's hat in your chest and he's putting you on your ass. That is what is keeping Ray Davis in the mix and keeping him as clear-cut RB number two. Ty Johnson is no slouch either. That's your three-headed monster right there. Frank Gore Jr. most likely will be put on the play on the practice squad, and he'll go from there. He had a good outing. But Ray Davis, the name of the game today was Ray Davis and James Cook. James Cook was really running really strong today within the tackles. Great job by the run game. 167, that's what you saw today. It's because these guys were running hard. So kudos to the run game. Kudos to the O-line. Aaron Kromer changed things up. He had these boys ready to go. And this was a game of physicality, man. Pittsburgh is not a slouch. They play physical. And we decided to show them who's boss. And we ran the ball down the throats, 167 yards. And I'll take that.
I loved it. I absolutely loved it. It felt like the holes were the main reason why the run game was so efficient. I mean, it just felt like every time that they took a handoff, they had a lane to blast through. And they really took advantage of it. Ray Davis looked great tonight. I was very, very excited about what we saw, especially on that long run there on the outside.
Love it.
Just great burst, great vision. Really excited about him, Rico. I think for the first time in a long time, I'm equally as excited to see what this team can do on the ground. I loved this so much about this team last year. You know, everybody gets all pissed off if Josh Allen isn't the focal point because it's all he's been. The balance is what got them into the playoffs last year. If they were not able to do what they did on the ground last year, I don't think they got to the point in which they got to. I mean, the only reason that they were in that game against Kansas City in the divisional round is because they had 40 minutes of possession, I think, to their 20 or something like that. That was the only reason they could hang in with the way the defense was banged up at that time. Last year, we saw Joe Brady finally allow this team to have an identity on offense outside of Josh Allen. And I'm excited to see that for a full season duration this year. And you add Ray Davis into that mix, it's exciting stuff. If this offensive line, I think that this team this year, they're going to go as far as the offensive line allows them. And last year it allowed them to go to a different spot than they've been under Josh Allen. And I think that this year, if we can get the same, Joe Brady's going to take advantage of it. It's not going to be this BS week in and week out. Well, we wanted to try this. Remember last year, like, oh, we just thought we'd try this or whatever. Oh, we'll just, you know. It felt like as soon as Joe Brady took over, you went with the work in hand. If this was working over here, we're not going to tear it down the following week and fix it. And if it's not working the following week, well, we're going to go with whatever we find is working in this game. And that led. Now, some of these games last year, we go, were ugly as hell. The Chargers game comes to mind, right? The Patriots game later on in the year. Are you winning at the end of it? Because I don't give a shit otherwise. Get into the playoffs. I mean, we were talking earlier about the win total. Rico, I don't care if they win 9. I don't care if they win 14. Are they going to win in the divisional round? That's all I give 2.5 shits about. So get there, and then let's see what happens. And I think they're going to get there.
Listen,
maybe it's depending on what they're doing in the run game, and I loved it tonight.
You're preaching, brother. You're preaching, and I'm with you all the way. So that's why selfishly, that's why we wanted to see Josh Allen and the boys and really see what. Yes.
Look at the receiving numbers, Rico. That's the counterpoint to this. That's what we also wanted to see.
I'm telling you, the max
anyone had tonight was 2 catches.
Buddy, it's and the best reception today was a throw to the fourth tight end of the game, yeah, exactly. Mr. Zach Davidson. So, I mean, listen, like people are saying, it's preseason. We get that part. Obviously, it's clear, but it's nice to see your starters get in and get some action in there. And that way we look, okay, we cool. Because last year, I remember we did the same panicking the first week, second week. They put a little game plan together. We look good. We're like, all right, that's all I need to see. Thank you, God. Let's go. So, we'll see. Week one. In week two in the books of preseason, now week three is going to be absolutely brutal.
The most throwaway week of all time. It's the absolute. Well, thank God we got college football. At least college football that'll be able to get us over.
Listen, who are you rooting for this year?
Oh, my Penn State Nittany Lions, like I do every year, and it'll disappoint me like the Bills do every year.
So hold on. So if Penn State vanished, like we're dissolving Penn State, is there anybody else you root for? Do you root for the Penn State like you root for the Bills?
Oh, I don't root for anything like I root for the Bills, but my Penn State's certainly my second closest for sure. But nothing like the Bills.
Maybe Iowa? Would Iowa be your
hell score? No. That'd be the last choice. Nobody in the Big Ten. Okay. Screw Iowa, Ohio State, Michigan. There's teams that I like last year going into the college football playoff. I loved what Washington had going on. I loved Roma Dunze. I loved Michael Penix. It was a new team in the fold. I loved watching them succeed last year. That was great. I always loved watching Oregon just because I think that they're the coolest looking team in the entire college football landscape. But Rico, this year for college football, it's the introduction of the 12-team playoff. I mean, this is going to be potentially one of the most exciting college football years ever. So it's going to be fun as hell. And Penn State finally has a chance to play for something this year because they're never good enough to be in the top 4 at the end of the year. They're good enough to be in the top 12, which is where they almost always finish. So this is where it gets interesting. You're going to have these teams like Penn State, teams that are usually good, really good, even year in and year out, but not elite. And then that's where you get to the dance and you figure things out. And that's where I'm so excited to see where this goes for the future of college football, because it's finally more fair to me in terms of giving all these good teams an opportunity to fight for a championship as opposed to just 4.
Love it. I want to show you something. I want to show you something here, and I want your thoughts on this, because this bothered me today, and I wasn't sure how to feel about it, and I wasn't sure if I was like, if I'm tripping, maybe that was a bad pass, maybe it wasn't. I don't know. We'll see. So I'm sitting here paying attention to, I don't know if you guys can see this perfect.
Oh, Jesus, God. This almost gave me a heart attack. Oh, okay. My God.
All right, let's talk about this for a quick second, all right? Because I'm sitting there. This is not a bad pass. At first, I thought it was a bad pass.
But it's a bad decision, man.
You got to have that. You got to have that.
I agree. He chicken-armed the shit out of that.
You have to have that. You take that thing and you catch that, and you're a big body. You're 6'4", 220. My guy catch that thing and knocked that safety 34 to his ass.
Oh, he alligator-armed the hell out of that. I listen. Mitch, Was the decision to throw that in the preseason, I mean, was it the best? Like, did he almost get him killed? Yeah.
No.
At the same time, though, Rico, at the same time, in a game, Josh Allen's throwing that 10 out of 10 times, and it should be a touchdown.
And this is why I wanted to see Josh Allen in this moment. Red zone, let these boys work on it in live bullets, man.
I mean, Josh, he's open.
If Josh is doing that, he's throwing it low. I know for a fact Josh is throwing it low and inside to him so that way he can cradle.
That's what it should be.
You know what I'm saying? But I know it's not a great pass, but you got to come down with that. You got to come down
that
with
needs,
that.
That to me, Rico, what you just said, that needs to be on the inside shoulder, no farther over than the middle of the chest.
Inside and low. Inside and low, so that way he can cradle it and come in with it. I mean, at least that's my opinion in this regard, right?
So, but you should have caught it. I mean, he should have.
You gotta catch that. And then, so you're sitting there going, okay. I mean, it's not the end of the world. And then it's our rookie second round pick. And then you see stuff like this.
Play here. Mahomes going down the field with these wide open. He's got the football. Xavier Worthy.
You know, you see things like that, and you're like, oof.
Well, for starters.
No, I don't want to hear no for starters.
No, he's wide the hell open. He's not running a crossing pattern with two guys within 2 inches of him. But, yeah, this pissed me off. I hated seeing that shit. Plus, he scored a touchdown from Carson Wentz. He's back, baby. Wentz.
You gotta nail that. I need that from you. It's just what it is. And then you just see, like, this you can't have. You can't have that, man. And this is a pass you got to catch, Keon. I don't care. I don't want to hear anything about it. You got to catch that sucker. I know it wasn't great, but it hit your hands, bro. It hit your hands. You got to catch that sucker. And he didn't. So anyway, not to throw salt in it, because it's always going to be. I'm going to tell you right now, man. I want everyone to know there's always going to be a link from the Bills to the Chiefs. Right? Andy Reid, Sean McDermott, Pat Mahomes. You know what I'm saying? Trey White. Now Trey White's gone. Josh Allen. And now Xavier Worthy, Keon Coleman. I mean, so there's always going to be some kind of tie. So that's why we need all the chemistry, all the stuff going between Josh and Keon. I mean, it's only preseason. You're right. It's only preseason. And what I'm seeing is building of the chemistry.
See, that I agree entirely with. Like, you that right me? There, if the Bills did that today with Coleman, we would have all been pissing over it. Oh, my God. You see this shit? Future. But when Xavier Worthy and the Chiefs does it, and we bring it up, it's like, oh, you know.
I'm just saying,
change,
man.
Change it to the Kansas City fanatics, why don't you? I think you just said it perfectly. You just want to see that so you know. I mean, I think we've had enough of this. We just need football. We need real football with these guys out there. But I'll give the Chiefs credit. Mahomes is out there playing a whole first quarter today. And, you know, doing things like that. Coleman, to me, though, on that play, I think the silver lining, he looked good coming off the line there on that route. I mean, he got at least two steps on the guy, but thanks, Grassmaster. You know how many packs it took to get to this? To this golden, buttery, raspy voice? No, I mean, I think that I'm not going to get down on that. I mean, I agree with you. You should have caught it, but I personally thought at this point of the year, the idea of him even being the number one guy or at least being in the fold was kind of a pipe dream. I think it's way better than that at this point. So that's where I'm kind of, you know, we can't really form an opinion without knowing. It's going to take a few weeks into the season. We just have not seen anything.
Rico cheers every team. Rico likes football. Rico likes good plays. And we had a play that should have been caught. It should have been in the end zone. And Rico's disappointed. The fuck? What you want me to tell you?
This anyway. Fandom's for everybody.
I'm a fan of every team. It is what it is. So that being said, folks, I mean, shoot. I think we hit pretty much everything we needed to hit. It's preseason at the end of the day. But nonetheless, the Bills go into next week. I forget who we play next week. Probably not
two words. Can you guess them?
Who knows? KC, what do you got?
I was just gonna say, who cares? Who cares? Give me the Cardinals. Give me the Cardinals, please.
Yeah. Let's skip the last whole.
I got it right here. They're Rico. They're playing the Panthers.
Oh boy! So we're gonna see Xavier Legette. Well, he probably won't play, so it won't matter.
I'm sure. Well, I wonder if Bryce Young will at all. He should.
I mean, in their preseason game, I doubt it. I think they'll put the backups in and just hope nobody gets hurt, and we go from there. I think that's how it's going to go.
Yeah, I mean, everyone knows the last week of it is just it's literally just
pray you get out of that thing early and you're set and you're ready to go. Any last words there, Bot?
Yeah, I'd say last words on your way out. Subscribe, like, and BetUS, link in the description below. 125% sign up bonus up to $2,000 on your first three deposits. And you saw what we showed you earlier. Right now, the Bills win loss total 10.5, and the Jets are a slight favorite. So take advantage of that while you can. But tonight, Rico, overall, I'll say one, it was better than last week. There was more positives to take away and discuss.
100%.
And above anything else, Rico, we're one more week towards actual football. We are literally rounding the corner here.
Brother, you said it. And yes, there was some love for Solomon. I said that earlier. I'm a big fan of Solomon. I thought Javon Solomon is polished. And I think that he's, once you get him on the field, man, he's going to do some problems. He was in that backfield often today. So it's just a matter of time when this guy starts to polish, get enough reps where he's going to start finishing plays. And it's going to be awesome to see. Great times. Listen, we talk about BetUS, but we also talk about our new partnership with Autograph. Go ahead and download that app. It's
big time.
And listen, man, you want to win tickets, merch, all that good stuff. Download that app. Use the code Buffalo Fanatics. It's legit. It's dope. You guys can't miss it. There's that logo. You see that in your app stores. Go ahead and download that and go from there, folks.
Yep. Link in the description below for both. Thanks so much for joining us tonight. Bills beat the Steelers 9-3.
Oh boy.
Second week of the preseason in the books, and we are three short weeks from tomorrow away from actual football. We'll be back with you next week for more here on the Buffalo Fanatics YouTube channel. But until then, folks, much love and go Bills.
Go Bills.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.